Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima. I'm Danny Cunningham filling in for the guys. And joining me now, of course, as you hear that music, you know it is the one. It is the only Daryl Ryder. Of course, Daryl is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Good morning, Daryl. How are you today?
Oh, it's QB 40 time.
Oh, yes. Bailey Zappe, quarterback number 40, to be starting a game for the Browns since they returned to action since 99. I know after spending the day with you yesterday, this is not surprising news to you.
Nope.
This is not something that everyone should be looking forward to. But how did we get here?
It's been a long, winding road that has taken 26 years. This is a situation. Brown's just taking a look at Bailey here. I don't think that there's anything further that they need to learn about Dorian Thompson-Robinson. They've seen Bailey Zappe on the practice field, obviously. They know what they saw on film from his time with the New England Patriots, but now they'll get a front row seat to it Saturday in Baltimore, and I think we all know how that's going to go. But you certainly don't want to endanger the draft position right now by risking a good game from Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That's all I could think about. Like,
you think that's a risk?
No, I'm being completely facetious when I say that.
Yeah.
Watching DTR is painful. But I don't know if Bailey Zappe is going to be any less painful tomorrow in Baltimore. But we shall see.
Well, there's been a lot of pain at the end of seasons for Browns throughout their history, throughout their new history, I should say. So you know how this works here, Daryl. We have a new starting quarterback in the final game of the regular season. We've had several of them. They've all been terrible. I need you to power rank your top three quarterbacks for the final game of the regular season for the Cleveland Browns ever.
I don't know.
Give me the music.
Here we go. I'm going to go number three, Jeff Driscoll.
Wow, I would have thought he might have been higher.
Number two, the great Nick Mullins.
That was not week 18. Does not count.
He was not week 18?
No, that was Monday afternoon football against the Raiders. It was the COVID game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was not week 18.
Then guess who we have to put in there?
Austin Davis, Connor Shaw.
Yes, Austin Davis is going to go in there. And then all-time number one week 18 awful starting quarterback, Connor Shaw.
Wow. Bruce Gretkowski was robbed, guys. I thought Bruce would have been on the list.
Well, you said top three. He was going to be number four.
Okay. Wow. But we will see. Maybe if we do this again next week, Bailey Zappi's on this list. Fascinating.
He has a chance.
He does.
He can play his way into the greatness of the Driscoll, Gretkowski's, the Shaws, the Davises. I just hope that Bailey doesn't have to introduce himself to anybody in the huddle tomorrow.
Well, I would think because he's been around, they all know who he is.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's not get carried away here, you know.
That's true. I mean, you never know with this franchise. So does he have to play well to get into the top three, or does he have to play poorly
three? No. He's got to lay a rotten egg tomorrow.
I think that the chances of that happening.
I don't think it's good. I'm not all that concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very confident about the Browns potentially having a top two draft pick.
Yeah, I think that is in the cards for them. Something that also could be in the cards for them, Myles Garrett. So defensive player of the year, it sounds like is something that's still on the table. It doesn't necessarily sit the best with me considering this team is on its way to being 3-14. But Myles has been really, really good this year without question.
Yeah.
I think he is one of the best players on the defensive side of the football in the entire sport. Like, that's just, those things are given. But are you with him when he said yesterday he thinks this is the best season he's had?
Well, he is just as good, if not better, than he was last year. And that's saying something. But, it, you know, as far as, well, the team is bad, so that taints it. Well, I mean, they had nine guys mentioned for the Pro Bowl yesterday.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree that all nine guys were worthy of recognition. I think there was some name recognition included in the you know, those alternate bids that were received. But, you know, when it comes to Myles Garrett, I thought Kevin Stefanski articulated it pretty well when talking about the volume of double teams that he has to face, the fact that he doesn't get penalties called to help him out, and you know, get teams to, you know, be a little more careful when it comes to the blatant holding and tackling that he deals with on just about every snap in the attention, and the fact that he is still able to have the pressure win weights that he has, the sacks, the tackles for loss that he has, the impact that he has. Yes, there are other guys, J.J. Watt, who might make splash plays, but like the consistency of those, not as great as you see from Miles at times. So I think he deserves consideration. Hendrickson of the Bengals, who, you know, got a ton of fan Pro Bowl votes. You know, I don't know that he had a better season than Myles Garrett has had, right? And he's, you know, in consideration. So it's going to be interesting to see if Myles can repeat. I don't think he will, but I do think that there is a case to be made because he is, in my view, at least right now, the best defensive player in the game.
So I'm with you as far as all that goes. I don't think he's going to repeat. I think he deserves to be in the conversation. I think he's had a really, really good season. But the thing that I keep going back to is if this guy is this good, and he is, how come the defense has been what the defense has been this year, Daryl?
Because they have 10 other guys on the field.
At least one of those other guys has been pretty good in Denzel Ward.
Yeah, well, then that leaves you nine other guys. You know, the defensive line has been good in spurts outside of Myles Garrett. You know, the secondary has been good in spurts outside of Denzel Ward. But the biggest reason for this defense not being good, at least from my point of view, just the chunk plays that they've given up, the explosives. I haven't added it up, but I know that there have been a ton of them. There, at one time, it was a 3-to-1 ratio. Brown's explosive plays allowed by the defense versus Brown's explosive plays racked up by the offense. And you just, that's not winning football. You can't win when you have a 3-to-1 ratio in that category with your defense giving up three times as many explosive plays as your offense is, you know, putting together. So, and, you know, you could go Butch Davis and say, well, Danny, you know, if they take away those explosive plays, this defense was really, really, really good this year.
Well, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Right. You can't do that. So that for me has been the difference on that side of the ball. It have been those big plays.
I also do wonder how much, and I talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm curious your opinion of it. I do wonder how much the defense has suffered because, one, they gain no belief from what the offense is able to do. And I do think that at times this season, no matter who the quarterback has been, whether it's been Deshaun, whether it's been Jameis, whether it's been DTR, now, of course, we will see it be Bailey Zappe on Saturday. Right. I think that offense has put them in some bad spots, too. And I just wonder how much of that goes into the defense struggling at times and realizing, hey, we can't hold up. We can't do the job that we're being asked to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be exhausting at times, right? When the defense does get a key stop or get off the field and the offense can't do anything. Also, the inability of the defense to create more turnovers. They've had opportunities this year. The ball just hasn't bounced their way. And if some of these defensive backs could catch footballs, they'd probably be wide receivers and not defensive backs. So that's just the way she goes at times. So it's just it's been a frustrating year all around. But yeah, the inability to create additional turnovers, the fact that they have to run back out there at times in such rapid fashion because the offense has been incompetent and can't do anything. Yeah, that'll wear a team down. There's no question about that.
Well, we know that Kevin Stefanski is safe. At least that's what we've been told. We've been told Andrew Berry is safe.
Yeah.
Will there be other changes to this staff? Because one of the stories from this season that we forget about at this point, but was Kevin Stefanski giving up play calling in handing that over to Ken Dorsey. Is there going to maybe be a change in that area?
Oh, I think that two coordinators potentially may not be here for next season. And Ken Dorsey and Bubba Ventrone. I could see a scenario where Mike Vrabel gets a head coaching job and the Browns just say, go ahead, Bubba, go, you can go be with Vrabes. Because his special teams units have been really disappointing in his time here. This has not produced the results that I was expecting. And look, maybe, Bubba can't go out and play anymore. And maybe I was unfairly expecting something else, but, I thought the return game was going to be better. Return game stinks, quite frankly. It's not that great. You've had penalties this year where the punt team didn't even line up correctly. Dustin Hopkins
turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah, I mean, he's not been good, and they've not been able to fix him. So I think the two coordinator changes could be made. I think offensive line, when Mike Vrabel's basically coaching the offensive line, that's not great for Andy Dickerson. I realize he's not Bill Callahan and you can't expect him to be, but that's the standard, right?
Right.
So I think that position could be looked at as far as coaching changes go. And, there'll be a couple others where, guys will get, poached, get opportunities to begin the process of moving up the coaching ranks, if you will. So there'll be some natural departures as well. So, yeah, I mean, the coaching staff, I do not expect to return whole for 2025.
If there is a new offensive coordinator, and I guess even if there isn't, but do you anticipate Kevin Stefanski taking play calling back over next year? Or is that something that when you give it up, that's kind of time, that it's just kind of over and you don't get that power back?
I think Kevin does a good job calling plays.
I agree with you, and I don't think he ever should have given it up. I'm not saying that that was the right move, but I'm curious if it's more likely he is calling plays next year again than not.
Well, here's one thing that I've noticed since he gave up the play calls. There have been a lot more reactions and looks of just complete disbelief and exasperation on his face between plays. And that's not something that Kevin Stefanski's known for.
Right.
He is known for being stoic, even keeled, expressionless, right? I mean, how many times do fans call our radio station yelling and screaming, why doesn't Kevin Stefanski show any emotion? We need a head coach that's passionate and cares and all that kind of stuff. Trust me, Kevin Stefanski cares, okay? Just because he's not breaking tablets on the sideline does not mean he does not care. But you have seen that since, because he's had time on his hands. You've seen the what on earth just happened, what on earth are we doing reactions from him. And I feel like, that's just not who Kevin is. And I think that him taking back play calling next year would probably be a smart move. But the play caller isn't, it's easy to say the play caller is the problem, right?
Right.
Notice the offense did not, there was a little period there where Jameis came in and things all of a sudden looked to be fantastic, right? But they didn't immediately start scoring points when Jameis Winston took over either. I think his Jameis's first start, they scored 14 points. So, yes, there were times with Jameis on the field that the offense did look competent if he wasn't out there throwing footballs to the other team. But, the offense was terrible. They need to scrap whatever it is that they did this year, They need to go. They need to let Kevin Stefanski run the offense that Kevin Stefanski wants to run. They need to put a list of three or four quarterbacks in front of Kevin Stefanski and say, you pick whoever you want to be quarterback this year, and you got him. We'll go get him. We'll make it happen. That's what needs to happen this offseason. None of this, you know, trying to fit a square peg in a round hole nonsense that they've been doing for the last 5 years that has led to them starting, which will now be 11 of the 40 quarterbacks have started under Kevin Stefanski. Like, so let Kevin pick whoever he wants, and then I think it becomes a little easier to hold Kevin responsible maybe for some of these offensive results.
Last thing, Daryl, but there was another update with the Browns and the future of where they're going to be playing their football games. What's the latest with that?
They have exercised the purchase option that they secured last year for $20 million. They wrote another check on December 31st to secure that. And they have a couple more installments to make. And once they do that, they will own that 176 acres of land in Brook Park outright. And so that is obviously, it's an important step moving forward. We knew it was going to happen once they made the announcement that they were going to pursue the Brook Park Dome and Development Project. But now that they have officially secured control of that land, that is a pretty significant hurdle for them to cross. And now all the focus and attention can turn to working with the politicians, assuming they're willing to answer their phones and have meetings with the Browns to begin the process of moving this project forward.
Well, we will see how this will all shake out. Certainly a very interesting thing to follow. Daryl, thank you so much for the time this morning.
You bet. Enjoy the regular season finale, folks.
4:30 on Saturday. We all
can't wait.
Daryl Ryder, of course, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Kevin Stefanski should take back play calling next year.